Welcome to Verse by Verse. We must go. Today on Verse by Verse, we're going to look at Jude, verse 11. In context, Jude wrote to the Christians of the first century about the need to contend for the Christian faith because false teachers are creeping into the church. Jude 11 says, "Woe to them, for they walked in the way of Cain and abandoned themselves for the sake of gain to Balaam's error and perished in Korah's rebellion." We're going to look at these three individuals in the Old Testament who are condemned because of different reasons. The first example is Cain. Notice in Jude 11 it says, "For they walked in the way of Cain." The second example is Balaam. "They abandoned themselves for the sake of gain to Balaam's error." The third example is Korah. "They perished in Korah's rebellion." So let's learn from Jude now as we look deeper into these stories we find in the Old Testament. We'll learn why they're judged by the Lord and how false teachers actually follow the errors of these three individuals and how we can avoid their errors. What was the way of Cain? The story of Cain, we know, is recorded in Genesis chapter 4. He was the son of Adam and Eve, and his brother's name was Abel. The New Testament is the best commentary on the Old Testament, so I'm going to start with Hebrews 11:4. "By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous, God commending him by his gifts." The difference between Cain and Abel was faith. Abel had faith, and Cain did not. It's not that Cain didn't know that God existed. Cain talked with God, and Cain offered a sacrifice to God, but he didn't offer the sacrifice with faith. And so that is why God accepted Abel's offering, because it was offered by faith. Now, there is a symbolism in the offering of Abel as well. Abel looked forward to the Lamb of God that would be sacrificed for his sins, and he offered that lamb sacrifice by faith, probably as a type of the one who is to come to take away his sins. But fruit cannot take away our sins. Fruit was the work of Cain's hands. Genesis 4:5 says, "But for Cain and his offering, he had no regard. So Cain was very angry, and his face fell. The Lord said to Cain, 'Why are you angry, and why has your face fallen? For if you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door. Its desire is for you, but you must rule over it.'" God spoke to Cain. Cain had the opportunity to do well and to be accepted by God. But there was another factor. Sin was crouching at the door, and he needed to rule over it instead of letting sin rule over him. 1 John 3:12 gives us a great commentary on what happened with Cain and how we can avoid his mistake. "We should not be like Cain, who was of the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own deeds were evil and his brother's righteous." Genesis 4:9 says, "Then the Lord said to Cain, 'Where is Abel, your brother?' He said, 'I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper?' And the Lord said, 'What have you done? The voice of your brother's blood is crying to me from the ground.'" Hebrews 11:4 gives us the commentary, "Through Abel's faith, though he died, he still speaks." Hebrews 12:24 says that we have come to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. Just as Abel offered a sacrifice to the Lord that's a type of Christ, Abel's blood itself was a type of the blood of Christ. He was a righteous man, yet he was murdered, and his blood was crying to God from the ground. There's a message in the blood of Abel, and it points forward to the perfect man, Jesus. Jesus' sprinkled blood speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. What does Jesus' blood speak that's better than Abel's? Well, it's Jesus' blood that cleanses believers from their sins. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. But it's Jesus' blood that makes us clean before God. Instead, Cain wanted his own works to be accepted by God. And when God said, "No, that's not the sacrifice I'm going to accept," Cain didn't correct his ways. He didn't repent and believe. Instead, he grew angrier and angrier. That's the way of Cain that these false teachers follow today. They're jealous of those who are right with God, and they end up hating them and wanting to kill them. And sometimes they actually go through with it. And so God must judge them. Just as he cursed Cain in Genesis 4:11, he says, "And now you are cursed from the ground, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand." In the same way, these false teachers, they are cursed because they've gone in the way of Cain. They've walked that way. It's their choice to walk in that direction, to go down that path. But that is not the way of salvation. That's the way of condemnation. The way of salvation is in Jesus Christ alone. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father but through me." The second example that Jude gives in verse 11 of a false teacher is Balaam. These false teachers abandoned themselves for the sake of gain to Balaam's error, Jude says. So let's learn from the negative example of Balaam so that we can avoid the error of Balaam. We read the story of Balaam in Numbers chapter 22 through 24. God said to Balaam, "Do not go with Balak, who wanted to curse the people of Israel." God warns us not to go with the enemy, no matter what he offers us, whether he offers you all the riches of this world. What shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world but loses his soul? This is what happened with Balaam. God said to Balaam, "You shall not go with them. You shall not curse the people, for they are blessed." God's anger was kindled because Balaam went with the enemies of God. And the angel of the Lord stood in his way as his adversary. Anyone who wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. And remember, the donkey saw the angel of the Lord first, and he was running his master into the side of the hill. Balaam started beating his donkey, and the donkey answered, "Have I been a bad donkey? Have I ever done this before to you?" And Balaam, crazy guy, he answered his donkey, and he was angry. He wished he could kill his donkey. But the Lord was ready to kill Balaam because he is disobeying the Lord. Numbers 22:31. "Then the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way with his drawn sword in his hand. And he bowed and fell on his face. And the angel of the Lord said to him, 'Why have you struck your donkey three times? Behold, I have come out to oppose you because your way is perverse before me.'" Balaam's trying to find a way to go around the will of God and still get this reward that he was offered for cursing the people of Israel. But he knew that he could not say or do anything against God and his people and prevail. His error was covetousness and greed. He was blinded by his desire for riches, and he thought he can get God to change his mind. Now, God was in control and sovereign. He didn't allow Balaam to curse Israel. He ended up changing his words so that he would only speak blessings about them. But Balaam wanted to curse Israel in his heart. These people who follow Balaam's example are in error. Sometimes you can't tell by their words that they are false Christians, but you can tell by the direction of their life. Like Balaam, they're pursuing greed, and they even want to try to use the name of the Lord to support their greed. They want to bargain and compromise with the world, rather than asking God to give us his plans that we may follow them and be blessed. Jesus said, "You err because you don't know the scriptures or the power of God." And we need God's word to correct us. But then when God corrects us with his word, we ought to heed the correction, rather than continuing in the error of our ways to destruction, like Balaam did. He ended up being killed by the sword. You cannot bribe God to do what you want by giving him an offering, when really in the end you're just wanting riches for yourself. And yet there's a teaching that has crept into the church that if you just have enough faith and tell God what you want, you can change his mind and get him to make you rich. But unfortunately today, many people are in the ministry because they're just trying to get more money, and their message is compromised, and their prayers are compromised. Their sacrifices are compromised. Is the motive of your heart to get more money, and you're using the name of the Lord to get business for yourself? And Jesus said, "You cannot be my disciple unless you're willing to give up everything that you own." He doesn't guarantee us material blessings. Just surrender your finances to him and say, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" It's better for us to lose the whole world and gain our soul than to gain the whole world and lose our soul. Oh, be careful. Woe is Balaam, and woe are those who follow Balaam's example, and woe are you if you make the same error that Balaam made. We see that Balaam couldn't win the reward from the enemies of God by speaking a curse against Israel. And so what we see happen is that Balaam advised the people of Midian to entice Israel to act treacherously against the Lord in the incident that happened in Peor. The people of Israel fall into sexual immorality and idolatry with the daughters of the Moabite people. And so the plague came among the congregation of the Lord. In Revelation 2:14, Jesus said to one of the churches, "But I have a few things against you. You have some there who hold to the teaching of Balaam, who taught Balak to put a stumbling block before the sons of Israel, so that they might eat food sacrificed to idols and practice sexual immorality." Joshua 13:22, "Balaam also, the son of Beor, the one who practiced divination, was killed with the sword by the people of Israel among the rest of their slain." And so that's the lesson we learned from Balaam in Jude verse 11. Let's go on to the next part of Jude verse 11. "They perished in Korah's rebellion." Let's learn from the example of Korah's rebellion so that we will not go that way and perish. The story of Korah takes place in Numbers 16, and they rose up before Moses with a number of the people of Israel, 250 chiefs of the congregation, chosen from the assembly and well-known men. They assembled themselves together against Moses and against Aaron and said to them, "You have gone too far, for all in the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Why then do you exalt yourselves and the assembly of the Lord?" This is a cry of rebellion among the people of Korah against Moses, who God did lift up. It wasn't Moses exalting himself. Moses was obeying the Lord. But these people were rebelling against the Lord by saying that they're good enough. God is with them. They can all do the same ministries. But Moses knew better. Numbers 16:4 says, "But when Moses heard it, he fell on his face. And Moses said to Korah and all his company, 'In the morning, the Lord will show who is his and who is holy and will bring him near to him. The one who he chooses, he will bring near to him.'" You know, the Lord knows who is holy and who is not. They may claim to be set apart for the work of the ministry. These people may look like full-time ministers of the gospel. They may profess that God is with them. And he said, "Do this, take censers." And they took censers and they were going to see whether they were accepted by God. This is a dangerous thing to try and go before God on your own. Numbers 16:8. "And Moses said to Korah, 'Hear now, you sons of Levi, be present, you and your company, before the Lord, you and they, and Aaron, tomorrow.' So the next day comes. Then Korah assembled all the congregation against them at the entrance of the tent of meeting, and the glory of the Lord appeared to all the congregation. And God said, 'Say to the congregation, get away from the dwelling of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. Depart, please, from the tents of these wicked men, and touch nothing of theirs, lest you be swept away with all their sins.'" Numbers 16:30-35. "But if the Lord creates something new, and the ground opens its mouth and swallows them up with all that belongs to them, and they go down alive into Sheol, then you shall know that these men have despised the Lord." And as soon as he had finished speaking all these words, the ground under them split apart, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed them up, and their households, and all the people who belonged to Korah, and all their goods. You know the story. The earth opened its mouth and swallowed them up. So they and all that belonged to them went down alive into Sheol, and the earth closed over them, and they perished from the midst of the assembly. All Israel who were around them fled at their cry, for they said, 'Lest the earth swallow us up.' And fire came out from the Lord and consumed the 250 men offering the incense." My friends, don't let this happen to you. If you have not been called to the ministry and made holy by the blood of Jesus, do not raise yourself up in the ministry. And if you have done this, you need to step down. And those who presumed to offer fire to the Lord who weren't called to do so were burned up, consumed by the fire that came out from the presence of the Lord. And those who rebel against the Lord, those who have despised the Lord, will be sent to hell. In Matthew 13:24-41, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while his men were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds also appeared. And the servants of the master of the house came and said to him, 'Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have weeds?' He said to them, 'An enemy has done this.' So the servants said to him, 'Then do you want us to go and gather them?' But he said, 'No, lest in gathering the weeds, you root up the wheat along with them.'"
We must go. We must go.
"Let both grow together until the harvest. And at harvest time, I will tell the reapers, 'Gather the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn.' Please tune in next week as we continue to study God's Word verse by verse.